Welcome to the Coaching and Therapy channel. So this channel is quite close to my heart because I train coaches in embodiment. I mean, why? Because if you don't work with the body, you're missing a lot, whether you're a coach, a therapist, facilitator, whatever. That's how you go deep quickly. That's how you do stuff that's sticky. We have to take the body into account. This channel is sponsored by Dylan Newcombe and Uzazu Embodied Intelligence. Dylan is a genius, quite simply put, and I wouldn't say that about many people in this field. I've been studying with Dylan for, God, the first time was probably 10 years ago in the Netherlands. Speaks fluent Dutch, by the way, as well as Korean and a few other languages. What I love about Dylan is his ability to make models of things, looking at how embodiment works. His system, Uzazu, U-Z-A-Z-U, is really all about state shifting. So I think of him as the sort of master of state changing, how we can shift our state, our client's state, and how we can develop ourselves through those different ways of being. So I think for coaches and therapists, it's like easy to learn, practical toolkit. I've used it myself over the years. So if you want a 3-day online training with Dylan, then look at the link below, or you can go to Uzazu, uzazu.org. And even easier, he's got an embodied assessment there you can do as well. We all love doing these little tests about ourselves, but this is an embodied one. So there you go. Welcome to the Coaching and Therapy channel. I'm going to be on this one a lot just because there's lots of cool people on here. Lots of people, I think, you know, well worth a listen. Embodiment in facilitation is so necessary. So from me to you, welcome.
So just to reiterate, this is Claire Wild, who's going to speak to Beyond Thinking, Embodied Solutions for Busy People. Claire herself says she spent too much time wondering why until she decided to live the questions instead of looking for answers. She has 10 years experience as a change worker through traditional Chinese medicine, somatic movement, body-mind centering, and she witnessed that most issues from her clients came from being too much in her head, their heads, and disembodied patterns leading to overwhelm, self-doubt. Today, she integrates these embodied approaches with mind-based approaches like NLP, spiral somatics, generative change, into a 6 intelligences framework to help busy humans tap into their inner resources and grow ease, balance, and resilience. Claire, welcome to the conference. Thank you so much for being here. It's your time. Right. Thank you. Claire would like a couple of attendees, if they would, to come and join her in the panel room. So if anybody would like to raise their hand, I'll do that while Claire starts her piece. So Claire.
Okay, thank you. So bonjour, everyone. And if some of you guys want to be on my screen, so you won't be seen by anyone else but me, just to be.
Yes. If you raise your hands, guys, then you can join Claire in her room. And Claire, with a sense then of how engaged you are and some sense of feedback. So
I can see how you see what's going on. And if you use the chat, I hope we'll do. Make sure you click on all panelists and attendees. You have all panelists and all panelists and attendees. Click on all panelists and attendees so everyone can see what you're writing, and we can all learn together from each other. Okay, but then first, before we start anything, I would like to start with actually using the chat and asking you, how do you feel? Just in one word. How do you feel? I feel pretty excited. A bit tired, it's early in the morning here, but just one word. How do you feel? Tired, excited, relaxed. So just notice how grateful we grateful. Just notice that. And busy. Oh, I love it. Well, just notice and remind and remember that. And I don't know what time is it for you, but here it's quite early in the morning. So I was waking up not so long ago, taking my breakfast, getting ready. Maybe for you it's the evening and you were, I don't know, having dinner just before, or you were running from one session to the other, or but whatever you were doing before, whatever you will do after, now is another time So I'd like us to take some time to arrive here and now. So what do you need to do to arrive here and now? Oh, tired, sleepy, thankful and excited. So what do you need to do? I need to stretch. And apparently to side. You need to move a little, jiggle, to drink. I could do that actually. Just taking 1 minute or two to really arrive here, to be present. Oh, are you here? Yeah, so now, how do you feel now? I feel calmer, still pretty excited to be here with you guys and happy, but really calmer. So notice how do you feel now and notice the difference. And please feel free to put it in the chat. Someone say breath, yes. Breath is really great, a great tool. And if we were together in a room right now, I would say and invite you to notice the change of the atmosphere in the room. Because I can tell you every time it's the same. There is a big change. It usually revolves around being more calm, being more relaxed, being more aware of what is happening, being here, being present. And imagine how would it change your day if you just did that a few times a day, maybe, and again, put it in the chat on a scale of 1 to 10, wouldn't change a thing. Or 10, it would transform your day into a haven of peace and tranquility. How would it change your day if you just did that during the day a few times? Maybe when you transition from one task to the other, from one space to the other. So I'm curious to read your answers on a scale of 1 to 10. My day would be a 7, great, great, yeah. And it's usually this kind of answer I get when I ask this question. So just do it, you know, that's it. Thank you very much, this session was wonderful. No, I'm joking, of course, we're going on. But remember this, it can really be simple. And there are some things that we know, but we just don't do. So we'll come back to this. But now we're all here. Let me tell you a bit about this session. So I'm working a lot with humans who find embodiment, spirituality, this kind of stuff too out there. Or they're perceiving that something, you know, you need to practice every morning at 5 a.m. for 1 hour or you won't see any results. So we tend to forget when we immerse ourselves in this body-mind work. But that's most people. And actually, I like to know, especially if this is you or this is people you work or you want to work with, or this is people around you, maybe your family and friends, and you wish you could share your enthusiasm for these practices. Well, for sticking there, I've got good news. But I'd like to know, who are you? Are you new to embodiment and you want to make it simple and to adopt in your everyday life? Are you a coach or facilitator around embodiment, or you want to use embodiment in your practice too? Or are you an embodiment enthusiast who wants to spread the word? So tell me in the chat, because depending on who you are, well, this session could go in a few different ways. So tell me, one, you're new to embodiment, you want to make it simple to adopt in your everyday life. Two, you're a coach or facilitator. Three, you are an embodiment enthusiast who wants to spread the word. Who are you guys? Tell me. Three, super enthusiastic. Yeah, So embodiment enthusiast. So I have an idea of how I can help you the best. I'm a psychotherapist, okay. Okay. So I'm a social worker and busy person. I love that. Welcome. Welcome, Olga. Okay. Okay, so we have a little bit of everything. Wow, 30 years of working on it. Super embodiment geek, life coach. Okay, very great. So we have a bit of everything. So, well, let's see how we can spread embodiment to everyone. And spoiler alert, we have to be sneaky. So we'll explore what we can learn from this simple exploration we just did, taking time to arrive. We might see a bit about the rational mind and these intelligences and ecosystem of minds, but maybe you guys know about this already. And I really want to get to applications for the daily life and application in coaching. And we might have time for questions at the end. So coming back to where we started, the exploration to taking the time to arrive. Well, I've got good news. You're already embodied. And it's exactly what it was about, right? What did we do? We let our body, our somatic mind, in charge. How did you know what you needed when I asked you? You felt it. You felt the tension in your body. You felt thirsty. You felt whatever. You didn't go, oh. So I think I need to move my left arm vertically 30 centimeters and then move my shoulder back and forth a few times, no more than 10. No. Chances are you went internal and you listened to your body, to your felt sense of what was going on. And it's one definition of somatic that I love, the felt sense of the physical experience. It's an experience. So you asked, what do I need right now? And you let your body answer. And good points if you did so with playful curiosity and kindness. So we listen, we pause and we listen. Then how did we react? We trusted. Our bodies are communicating with us all the time. And most of the time we don't listen. So this time did we go, oh yeah, I feel I have a tension there, but it's okay. I can continue. I hope not. This time you went, yes, there is tension here. Welcome. And what did we do next? We responded. We tried something. Let's see what this is bringing. Oh, yeah, that's better. Because we kept listening. Oh, yeah, that's cool. We checked. So summing up, and all of this happened out of our head. Now, remember, you're already embodied. So, better news. We are all unconsciously embodied and we can get consciously embodied. And that's what it's all about. So what did we do? We paused and listened, we trusted, we responded, and we kept listening. So what is in there? Quickly, pause and listen. There is a sense of presence, a grounding. It's now, it's happening now. It's not happening tomorrow. We breathe now, not in 2 days. So there is a sense of here, of now, a sense of slowing down, and at the same time, an immediacy of the answer. The body can hold lots of information simultaneously, and there is a focus, there is a clarity of being there. Trust. Well, there is a sense of playful curiosity. We are not going like, no, I don't. No, there is a sense of wonder. It's like kid doing something for the first time. Hey, let's do this and see what happens. So an exploration, no right or wrong, no questioning, yes. And responded. So we responded with fierce love because your body, it freaking loves you, guy. It will do anything for you, even get sick if it needs to. So there is a sense of being unapologetic. There's no excuses and it's spontaneous. It's an experiential action. And we kept listening. So the good news is your body can teach you how to do all of this. Yeah, I just said you can learn from your body. It might be new for you if you're new to embodiment. But that's the point. We can learn from so many minds, not only the rational intellectual mind. I would love to know on a scale of 1 to 10, how new is this for you, this learning from your body thing? I guess for a few of you, this is far from being new, but... And while you're typing your answer, so on a scale of 1 to 10, how new is this, learning from your body? Isn't it a good news? And let's go back to thinking the rational mind. So the rational mind, what about we did the same exploration from here? Oh, 5, yeah. The analytic, logical, intellectual mind, or in scientific terms, too much in our head. Do whatever you need to arrive now. Oh, I arrived already. What do you mean, arrive? Oh, I really like this movement. But I also learned this asana the other day, and the teacher said it was super for my back. And there was also this meditation, or I don't know, or I don't want to be ridiculous in front of other people. So meet the intellectual mind. Rational, it has its pose, not so much, difficult to stay quiet. It's in the past or the future. It's very good at organizing. There is right, there is wrong, categories and boxes. It's quite competitive because it's one or the other, quite disconnected. It needs to understand or it can't act, needs to make sense, and it's very good at storytelling. And it believes it knows better than anyone else because it doesn't recognize all the ways of knowing as valid. It's not scientifically proven yet. So that's when we go, no. I'm tired? No, but I really need to finish this for tomorrow. So smarting mind, just shut up. So is it a good or a bad thing? Like, is the intellectual mind really the bad guy? And please feel free to share in the chat what you think, good or bad? Bad guy, good guy? Do we have a villain here? Yeah, well, okay, it's a trap question. Not in me, because it depends. It depends what you need. If you need to organize things, black and white thinking is really helpful. Yeah, it can be both, exactly. And actually, what got me out of my bed this morning, I'm not used to get up this early in the morning. It definitely wasn't my somatic mind. My somatic mind was like, feels good in the bed. I need some more sleep. No, it was here. No. I said I would do it and I'm going to do this. This is exciting. So it can be totally the good guy. The problem is in our modern societies, we put it over anyone else, like a puppet master. We made him the one who will them all. We need to understand first intellectually to make sense of anything, or we cannot do anything. So welcome to analysis paralysis, self-doubt, perfectionism. Welcome to disconnection. And we cut from our somatic minds and emotion. And so for example, when I was giving a shiatsu session, often at the end of a session, a client would just jump back on their feet, literally jump back on their feet, saying to me, oh, I'm so relaxed now. Well, maybe you think you're relaxed. I'm not seeing you embody it. So, and when we are disconnected from ourselves, it becomes really difficult to connect to others and to life, really. So the problem is this mind over matter, this controlling approach. This make it happen, get things done approach. So let's see the other way, an ecosystem. So the good news, rational mind is not alone. It doesn't have to do everything on its own. And if you measure your intelligence only by your ability to think, then you're limiting yourself. If you ask me, we have multiple intelligences, I would tell 6. it's my model. There are others, and just this one works really well for me and my clients. So I invite you to try. Really quickly, there is a somatic or physical mind, energetic mind, emotional mind, intellectual mind, relational mind, and spiritual mind. And I won't go into details about this today, but I would focus on somatic and emotional and intellectual. Hey, this is the embodiment conference. And embodiment to me is about how we inhabit all of them and we let them cooperate into a balanced ecosystem. So that it's not one or the other, or one over the other, they all cooperate together. And an example is placebo effect or spontaneous remissions. And feel free to share other examples in the chat if you have some that come in mind. And I'll move to application. So how to let them consciously cooperate, because placebo effect is mostly unconscious. But we can absolutely have them consciously cooperate. And it's all about allowing versus making it to happen. And I really like permaculture view for that. So for those of you who don't know permaculture, it's a different way of agriculture. Traditional agriculture is really like, oh, I want to plant some corn on this land, I'm just going to put some more fertilizer. Permaculture is like, okay, what is this land like? What can I plant on it? So it's a very different approach. It's nurturing the ecosystem for it to be able to develop as it needs rather than imposing our will. And it's what it's the same process we've seen before. Pause and listen. Just notice, how is this ecosystem organized? Trust. Yes, everything in this ecosystem is welcomed. It's organized the best it can now. There's no bad plants or no good plants. They all have a function. So playful curiosity, huh? That's interesting. What are you doing? What is your function in this system? And response. How can I support this ecosystem in a way that will help it develop for the best? Does it need water? Does it need shade? And keep listening and keep trusting and keep responding. So it's a cycle through all of this. So in the end, it's a supportive presence. An apologetic presence, because sometimes support is a kick in the butt. It's playfully curious and it's fiercely loving. It's all about trust and empowering instead of controlling. So it's about creating the best conditions for things to self-regulate and emerge, to allow. And it takes the time it takes. So we are always looking for sustainability in the long term versus quick hacks. And we accept the system can reorganize itself in 10 seconds or in 10 years. So if you ask me my best productivity hack, rest. Make sure to feel refreshed and happy when you start working. And the best thing to do to implement this cooperation is just get in the habit of listening to all of your intelligences, somatic, emotions, not only your intellectual mind. So it's exactly what we did in the first minute we got here. And if it sounds complicated, it's not, you're already embodied. Again, we did it at the beginning of this presentation. So some practice, and it's really about like the most important practice, which is really listening. So remember how we started. We paused, we listened, we trust. We have to get into the mindset that we actually can learn in ways that your rational minds won't necessarily understand. And it might feel weird at times when it's new to you, but just trust that it's possible and let yourself be maybe surprised by what might come up. Let yourself be playful and try things. So be willing to play along, present, playfully curious and loving. You need a lot of kindness for these explorations. And it might might feel too simple, but remember what my question at the beginning of the session, how would your day be different if you would remind yourself to stay present and come back to presence again and again? Well, it would be, get better. It's not complicated, so why don't we do it more? Because knowing is not enough. We need to experience it. And how we can experience it is by practicing again and again, and then having the felt sense and the felt experience of this knowledge. Knowing here is worth nothing for our embodiment. So I'd love to take you in another exploration. And first, let me do a quick distinction between demonstration and embodiment. For example, if I take anger, if I demonstrate it to you, it will be something like, it's, you know, these games where you mime things. It's like this, I'm showing you anger, demonstration. Embodiment of anger could be something like, at the moment, it would be like, very different. And I didn't know at all what was coming up. That's embodiment. It's, I don't know, I just connect to anger and see what comes up. So demonstration versus embodiment. So now, notice how you feel. Your physical sensations, the points of contacts with the chairs, your feet on the floor, whatever is there, just notice physical sensations. If emotions are there, just notice knowledge. And bring to awareness something you're struggling with, something you'd like to change, maybe a habit, or even a decision you have to take. And please, not a life and death kind of stuff, which is something that you're comfortable to explore now as an exercise. And as you keep it in your awareness, notice what's present. How do your physical sensations change? Or emotions, if you notice some. Just notice. Priscilla. Notice what is present and what is changing, and this awareness is reflected in your whole body. Is embodied. Is embodied. Welcome. Whatever is there. Priscilla. Hi. Welcome. Comfortable, uncomfortable, these are just labels that are useless in this space. There is sensations that want to be heard. Welcome. What can I learn from you? And I wonder what happens if you let these sensations come at the surface and show up out of your head. How does your body embody this, what you keep in your awareness? So allow it to come at the surface and out. Like the sound of a gong, it starts at the center and it travels in all directions. Like a ripple coming to meet the shore. And you probably feel a movement starting to form. That's what happens when things move to the surface. So allow these movements to move from the inside out. Welcome. Isn't it interesting how we can be. Notice what's happening as it is happening. When we just let it happen. Je suis là. Moving. Like your personal dance. Like your own yoga asana. Like your own kata. Moving. Emerging from the depth of yourself. Traveling to the surface. Be well next. Hi and welcome. And as we are going to transition back to normal times, and normal time, and as you keep moving, and as you keep noticing, you know that your body knows how to communicate. And you know that I know that you can listen. So you listen. And you learn. And you keep listening and learning. And we are transitioning back to here and now with this new knowledge, this embodied understanding. And we are back together. And I would be really curious for you to share in the chat what's your experience? What did you discover? Did something surprise you? Do you have a sense of how you are going to use this new skill, or what's there, what was present? So tell me. This is an example of how you communicate and cooperate between your somatic and emotional mind, and bring things to your awareness or in your rational understanding. And it's the first step, really, awareness of what is there. So I felt a lot of heaviness when I went into my body. Yes. Welcome. And sometimes you are surprised by what's there, and that's what's interesting. Our body holds information that our mind, our rational mind, cannot access. So accessing it and making it bigger, especially into a movement, makes it more easy to read, more easy to be seen. And if we had more, well, my mind was holding my body sort of hostage. Oh, my brain wanted to figure out, yes, but my body had a different answer. Beautiful. So that's exactly what I'm talking about. Yes. And so this is exactly when this gets interesting, because you can then listen to this answer and find things that you wouldn't have. Some stuck areas and somewhat holding my breath. Yes, felt a soft and slow vibration from the inside out, beautiful, which was calming, great. Heaviness became a down movement, and then I stayed at the bottom of a leg, felt peaceful, beautiful. So notice what can come up with this really simple, that was just a few minutes, simple exploration. And with more time, we could move on to finding solutions. We could move on to many different things with the same kind of skills and technique. And often the somatic mind is much more creative than the rational mind, because it doesn't have all the expectations and all the filters. So it's a really fun exploration to do. So other quick examples of intentional cooperation, well, what you just did in the first beginning of the session, listen, rest, just rest to be in an optimal mind state is a very good intentional cooperation. Using the body to get into a flow state before working intellectually, for example. And yeah, there is many ways you can do that. I love dancing. But any practice with the body, can be yoga, can be running, can be anything really, it will get you grounded, focused, present, because that's what the wisdom of the body holds. I like dancing also because it's a double bingo, because I can then use the music to change my mood depending on what music I dance to. So here is another hack to change your mood, your emotions. You can use your breath to regulate emotional or and energetic states. Really easy. We breathe all the time, so we might as well use it. If you exhale, you activate your parasympathetic nervous system. If you inhale, you activate your sympathetic nervous system. Really easy to use, and it's always there for you. So just to give you quickly a few ideas. Now, how to use this as a coach, as a facilitator, or as a client using services of a coach? These are some of the standards I would look for to know if I'm going to work with someone. Well, first, obviously, it's calibration, like knowing where you're at and where your clients are at. What intelligence are they using most right now? What are they lacking? Where do they need more support, of course? But then really first, meet them where they are. And I'm working with a lot of humans who find embodiment challenging, too out there, too difficult. So there is a lot of words I won't use, like energy. Even when I was working in shiatsu, there was a lot of words I wouldn't use. Meridians, chi, all this shiatsu and traditional medicine jargon, I wouldn't use that. So you have to be sneaky. Respect where the language. You don't have to say four little words like embodiment, consciousness, and the like. Depending on who you are working with, they might or not want to hear that. But they are ready for the content. So just use other words. And I love this example from, I think I saw it on the NICAP website. They were talking about a meditation program for soldiers having PTSD. And it wasn't working. It wasn't working because meditation to these soldiers felt like, you know, this calming voice. And so they had a feedback from an officer who had taken the program. And he said, guys, this is working because I did this and it worked for me. But the way you are doing this is wrong. This hearing this voice for us, for me and my guys, is just not working. So let me help you. And they did an introduction. So they took the exact same program, but they did an introduction with this guy. And it's actually quite funny to hear. It goes something like, guys, I know you are struggling right now, and I was. Believe me, when I come back from Vietnam, that wasn't pretty. And I know you don't want to hear about meditation because this is for pussies, but I did this program and it worked for me. So if you just try it, trust me, you can trust me. I know you don't hear this kind, you don't like to hear this kind of voice, but I did this and it worked. So it goes like this for 5 minutes. It's absolutely hilarious to us or to anyone used to meditation. It's quite irritating to hear, honestly, because it's really like military. But for these guys, it's exactly what they needed to hear. And after this 5 minute introduction, then they went to meditation to find a comfortable position, etc., etc. And then the program really worked and people stayed in and it's had a good impact. So don't decide for others what they need to hear or not. And listen to their words there and expressions they use and make it real for them. So one thing I love to do is impersonate the minds, impersonate whatever model you're trying to get across, like the way I'm talking about the rational mind as a puppet master. It gets people to laugh, and they can, you can use images and examples they know and you can relate to. And then go easy, of course, go just one thing at a time. And the most important thing is embody the change you want to see in the world. Or as my NLP trainer, James Sakalos, says, go there first. I see so many coaches, especially as this embody thing is getting more trendy, they ask really intellectually, really, so where do you feel that in your body? This is not embodied. This is, remember the demonstration versus embodiment? So wearing white doesn't make you spiritual. Talking with a slow and low voice doesn't make you compassionate. And talking about the body doesn't make anyone embodied. So if you want to facilitate embodiment, you need to facilitate change with your embodiment, not through what you are saying. Don't explain. Have them explore and experiment. And first you need to build trust so that it's safe to follow you. So they need to embody to facilitate their exploration. And words might be needed or not at all. Remember, the permaculture, allow, don't drive, and support the system for letting emerge what needs to. Now, what could emerge from that is some very deep shift, and we're getting to elephant hugging here. And please, if you are a facilitator, get at least an introduction to trauma, so at least you can recognize it when you see it. And so elephant hugging is really, honestly, my main coaching practice. And I'm talking about elephants in the room, because what emerges often is, for the first time, people are ready to face whatever they were holding and they didn't want to see or couldn't see. So it's something that often has been there all along, lying in plain sight. But again, if the room isn't clean, you cannot see the elephant, no matter how big it is. And it's especially true for trauma. So sometimes there is just some work to do to first to be ready, especially emotionally. So clean the room first, help them regulate their emotion, help them regulate the nervous system, the physical tensions. You cannot force elephant hugging. And the elephant in the room is, it's that part of them that's been there shouting louder and louder to get some attention, trying to be seen for so long, desperate for acknowledgement, love. This is really what it is. It's, hey, help. What do I need to do for you to listen to me? Look at me, please. And it's really, really simple to hug an elephant. And it's going to sound familiar. Oh, and not that elephant hugging often happens in parallel to whatever is happening in the session. It's an embodied process. So your body will do it much more than any words you could be saying at the same moment. And so presence is essential. You cannot be half there. It's like a wild animal, you know, it needs to trust. And you should only call the animal you're ready to meet with. And often it's so scary to admit elephant or the thing that we know we're hiding. Yes, that's why I'm saying you cannot force it. So if this is the case, then if you are the coach, you need to recognize that and do whatever regulation first. It's not for you to decide when is the time, and it's, you really need to be able to read that in your clients. And then if you see the elephant is ready to go out of the cage, well, you pose. No, it's like a wild animal. You cannot force it to come out. So you just have to make it safe to do so. And you wait. And you listen. Hi. It is what, I see you. I hear you. Welcome. And you trust. It is what it is. Yes, you get playfully curious. It's not bad, it's not wrong, it's not right. It is what it is. And there might be some really difficult and or uncomfortable things to hear and to witness, but it is what it is. Yes. And you respond. So there might be some words needed at that point or not at all. And use your tools. If you're a coach or facilitators, you are trained, so you have tools to respond accordingly. But really, in elephant hugging, your first and most often only tool is present listening, and no words are needed for that. It's the embodiment of an apologetic presence. I'm here with you, fully, no matter what. I won't let you down. Playful curiosity, no right or wrong, but that's interesting. And fierce love. I love every part of you. Remember that this elephant, it's been there waiting to be acknowledged for so long. So only to be heard is such relief already. And this word welcome, I love the way Stephen Gilligan puts it. He uses this a lot, and it's super powerful. Just hi, welcome. So, and then of course, if you see an elephant that's too big for you to hug him, refer the person, especially trauma, because you recognize it. Remember, you took this introduction course on trauma, so you can recognize it and you can refer. But when you do see an elephant that's in your ability to hug, then do, really. It's that simple. Pause, listen, trust, respond. Now, as we're getting to the end of the session, I'd love to know what is one thing that you are taking from this session. Like a new understanding, a practice, what practice are you going to take on? Please let me know. Oh, shy idea. And if you've got some question, actually, question, thankful, excited. No. If you have some question, now is the time. I like the way you encourage slowly letting things bubble up, yes, and emerge. Yes. Yeah, that's the main, really the main thing. Matthew, I see you raising your hand.
Yeah, I have a question about that. Mm-hmm. In working with a coach, Shauna, in the coaching psychotherapy container, you have that aspect of the safety of the container.
Yeah.
The gaze, the expertise of the coach, and the therapeutic alliance that supports the unpacking of that. What would you recommend when we are blindsided by our elephant and in degree of lock around that? To unpack that for ourselves in self-practice? Is there an aspect of self-practice? Do I get a sense of working with you? Become more insightful? Just a curious question that comes. A question that comes for me.
Yeah, well, definitely. And so everything that I talked about, it's first for you, if you're a coach, a facilitator, or anyone, first for you, and then you can facilitate that. So that's what I mean by go there first. If you're, and thank for asking, if you are not aware of your own embodiment, of your own elephants, then you might totally, yes, get blindsided and not see what's lying in plain sight. So yes, this work is really first for yourself, and then you can help. And it's actually something that is really dear for me, because I did that, mistake. I don't know if you can call it mistake, but when I first got into, my first approach of embodiment was through shiatsu and somatic movement through body-mind centering, both at the same time. I did both training at the same time. I was a total geek. I'm still am. And this is one thing I realized just later in my process. But from the beginning, I was doing this for myself. I just didn't see it. So I began to do this because I wanted to help people. But then after a few months, the first year, I realized I was helping myself, and that's how I could help people. And that's I mean, this is really the base of embodiment. If you're doing this from your head and from what you think is good or from what you know intellectually, this is not embodiment. This is some knowledge. It can be valuable, but it's not working with the whole of yourself and the whole of your clients. So yes, please, please, please go first. Know yourself first and experience what you are asking your clients to do or what you're facilitating for your clients. Because some things, as we saw in the chat, I didn't know the answers were different between what I thought could be there and my body told me. Until you experience it, you cannot know that. So let me see. Thank you for the very caring reminder about understanding. You cannot tell people to experience something without entering that experience first. Yes, I also have to be honest. It's nearly on my 11 p.m. I melted in the talk while lying in the vault. Some part I heard my body while I... And, you know, in the, especially embodiment centering, a lot of the content we learn from the body. So if you are present, sometimes you don't need to understand what's going on. Your body, your emotions, they will take it in for you. If there is cool, oh, what's the name of the method? Look, yes, I did some different training and now I'm integrating my trainings into my way of doing and seeing the world, honestly. So I studied Shiatsu, I studied body-mind centering, I studied NLP, spiral somatic, and I don't have a name for my method. It's just what I do. But what I would recommend, if you want to learn this kind of things, if you're interested in embodiment and these things, learn from different teachers. That's why I so love this project of the embodiment conference. Learn and go and experience different things. Open your experiences to different stuff. And some in the beginning, they might be weird. It might be exactly what you need to experience to really open yourself to new experience and have different views on what is embodiment, what is the mind, what is the body, what is the relationship. It's really, really helpful to see different point of view. And Matthew, I think we are getting at the end. I think you need some time to, do you want to wrap me to wrap up at this point? I know you need some time at the end to...
A little, but if you want to invite anybody to have a chat with you for a couple of minutes as a Q&A, I can bring people out into the panel.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
If anyone has a question. You mentioned a teacher. Oh, I have a few. I wouldn't know. Well, maybe Jens Sakalos. He has an impossible name, but he's actually Australian, my NLP trainer. But yeah, I have a few teachers. And that's really something I advocate for. Go and train different things. In embodiment, in mind, like NLP, for example. And it gets really powerful when you can really integrate and blend things together.
Yes, I agree. I think we all stand on the shoulders of giants in this, and that what we are drawn to is kind of aligned with the gifts we bring. I understand that the Greek word therapeutos, that becomes therapy, has a root in to care for and adore, that aspect of blessing and how we bring that. And I think that from what I've heard from you today is a sense of grace and kindness in that embrace, in that therapeutic embrace. And I appreciate you sharing that with us today, that there's a style that you bring through those teachers that you've been drawn to. I suspect that that is part of your gift. So,
thank you.
Well, we've got a couple of minutes left, but if nobody has a question that's live for them, then Claire, I asked you at the start of the warm-up, what would be your top tip for embodiment? What could we carry forwards as a particular insight from you? Your top tip for embodiment?
Really comes down to presence. So what we explore, like rational mind, it's great and needed, just takes itself a bit too seriously, like a wannabe puppet master. So put it back to cooperate in within our ecosystem of, for me, six minds or intelligences, and explore these ways of understanding and doing the words. And we've seen some tools to do that. There is exploration. Yes, and elephant hugging. And with the skills of, you know, an apologetic presence, the playful curiosity, and a lot of love, really, fierce love. And the simple, really simple process of pose, listen, trust, respond, and keep listening. And never dismiss anything for being too simple. Because this is what happens a lot when I teach embodiment to people new to that field. It's like, it's too simple. I mean, we like, especially when we live here, we like complicated stuff and 10-step processes. And it can be simple, and simple can be powerful. And simple is not always easy. So, and really, I hope you see now that you are already embodied, and conscious embodiment is simple. It's being connected to you, to others, and to life, to what is. It's your presence in the world. So we go to trainings like this conference to learn and practice, but ultimately, like my shiatsu trainer Suzuki Sensei used to say, life is the dojo. So that's my top tip. Life is the dojo.
Life is the dojo. Lovely. Beverly Ankers has added a nice point to the chat. Just an extra wave of appreciation from her.
Thank you so much. That was a perfect end to my day. I'm grateful after working with many clients. It is always good to be supported on the journey of sharing what encompasses many skills, yes, based on innate knowing. Many people push for us to be defined by one form, which feels counterintuitive totally to our very nature. Deep gratitude. Thank you, Beverly. Thank you.
Lovely. Thank you so much, Claire, for showing up as you have. I appreciate your grace in this and the gentle tone that you've brought to this session. I love the balance that brings, and appreciate Beverly's words in that.
Yes.
I have to wrap up now. There's another talk in an hour's time. Unfortunately, our presenter wasn't able to do it live. So we're playing a recording that would be a valuable one. But there are plenty more super talks, as we all know. This conference is our movement, is our Woodstock, with so many extraordinary people bringing their gifts. And I thank you, Claire, for being part of that. Do look at purchasing the portal. It enables us to make this possible, to bring everybody together in the way that we have done. And it gives you the chance to take your time to watch these recordings, to learn more, and to understand why Claire and I are so passionate about being in the muscle, being in the body, and being present in this experience of life that we have. Thank you very much. I'm going to end the session. Thank you, Claire. Thank you.